Christmas, wonderful Odyssey people. I'm Jesse, editor of Focus on the Family Clubhouse Magazine.
And I'm Bob, producer of the Adventures in Odyssey Club. Welcome to the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
We've talked a lot about Album 73, 28 Hours, in our recent podcasts, but it isn't enough. You had even more questions about this six-part adventure.
So you know what that means. It's time to hear some satisfying answers and, well, let's be honest, some creative dodges from the Odyssey writing team. Here we go.
Here we are again for another Q&A podcast with a sprightly group of question answerers.
Ooh, sprightly.
Myself perhaps not included in that, but this is Nathan Hubler, line producer, and we have a few more people in the studio ready to answer a whole bunch of questions.
This is Kathy Buchanan. I'm a writer and director.
To Kathy's left.
Oh, here we go.
I'm Dave Arnold, executive producer.
And I'm Marshall Younger, the showrunner.
And we've got a ton of questions. A lot of them are directed at Kathy, understandably so, because we're just finishing up 28 Hours, which Kathy wrote and directed.
My plan worked.
The boring podcast.
It's a Kathy cast.
Let's get started on the Kathy cast. This question is not necessarily directed at Kathy, but this first question we have here.
Because you're going to need it.
Prepare yourself. This first question is from Kevia from Somerville, South Carolina.
I cannot believe that I actually get to talk to you guys. You guys are, like, amazing, and I can't believe all you guys do. My question is, have you figured out what you're going to do for Eugene in place of Will Ryan? Are you going to replace him, or are you going to cut Eugene out of Odyssey?
Yeah, so we have figured that out, and we've discussed it at length, and we discussed it for a year. Essentially, and we did figure out a solution. We hope that it's somewhat satisfying. I'm actually writing the script right now. Kathy and I are writing a script for that, for those shows, and we're recording it in January. So be in prayer for us, because it's going to be a tough session without Will, and we're going to try to address it in the best way we can.
And when can listeners hear what you guys are working on?
Yeah, that would be in Album 75, which starts out in the club next summer, summer of 2023.
All right. Next up, we have Kaysen. Kaysen calls into the podcast a lot, and we appreciate that, Kaysen. This is Kaysen from Neosho, Missouri.
Will you do any Sleuth Family Robinson episodes?
Kaysen from Neosho. Our old friend Kaysen.
Good old Kaysen.
He's always really reliable to call in.
And it's a good question. We first heard about Sleuth Family Robinson in The Ties That Bind. Wooten was working on that comic there. And we don't have any plans to do any episodes about the Sleuth Family Robinson. However, if you do want to follow that comic, Clubhouse Magazine had a column for several years from 2019 through 2022. I'm looking at one of those columns right now. If you want to check out a few of those, we're going to have a few of those on our website at adventuresinodyssey.com/podcast. If you want to see what those comics are like, we will have a few samples for you. And next up, we have Colby, also from Neosho, Missouri.
I was wondering if y'all will release any of Jules' songs from Four Songs in California Dreams. By the way, I'm Kaysen's brother.
We determined that earlier, in an earlier podcast.
Well, thank you, Colby, for calling in as well. We appreciate both of you guys from the same household.
Is Colby the younger brother?
I'm guessing based on their voices, but Colby, you can call and let us know. Maybe we'll discuss that on the next podcast. But Jules' songs, Kathy Marshall, are we going to release more of the songs that Jules sang when she was in California?
We are not going to release them.
Because they were never recorded. That's probably
or written, even, if we want to be honest about it.
The ones from California? California Dreams?
Well, there was a song in that episode, but it was certainly implied that Jules sang more songs than that. I mean, if she had a concert, you can't have a concert with just one song.
Okay, right, yes.
Well, she did. That's the point. I mean, she's that good.
She's a one-hit wonder, literally.
But will we ever hear Jules singing again?
Yes. In fact, I am working on a show with Marshall that will have Jules singing in it.
But I'm not writing the song.
We better get someone on that.
I think the song has been written already.
It might, in fact, be something that has been in the public domain for more than 100 years.
It might be an amazing song about things.
Maybe
like
Kathy could do a little rewrite on it, make it a little better.
Fantastic, Grace.
Well, you heard it here first. Don't say that we never tell you anything on these Q&A podcasts. Now you know. All right, moving on to Cynthia from Auburn, Maine.
In the episode, A Book by Its Cover, Katrina mentions that she has two younger brothers who are still at home. Why weren't they mentioned in the Novacom saga or any other episodes? And wouldn't that mean that Buck has two uncles? Why weren't they at Katrina and Eugene's wedding? And also, will we ever discover their names?
Those are great questions.
Yeah, good questions.
Yeah, why weren't they at the wedding? That just seems
they were
rude.
They were just in the back.
Yeah. Well,
they were in the nursery.
Katrina's mom was there. The nursery.
Really young.
I think Katrina does say in that episode that they were older brothers. they were with their kids.
They were
in the
taking
nursery.
Their care of the nurseries.
Yes.
You
know. Yeah.
Well, it's a good question. I mean, we do have some of those lines that kind of hang out there that mention other characters.
And then we forget about them.
Yeah.
And then they haven't been brought up in many years. I think that episode first aired in 1994, and her brothers have not been mentioned since then.
The funny thing is that Phil had pitched an idea at a writer's meeting about Katrina's brothers,
mm-hmm.
and we never recorded it. We may or may not ever hear that show.
Hmm. But it's not a bad thing to have these little plot hooks that we could use someday. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at Eugene's father and how long that was hanging out there before there was a story about him. Same with, not quite as long, but same with Wooten's father. Wooten talked about his father for years before we actually saw his father.
So they could still show up.
They could. Katrina's
somewhere
brothers
down the
could
line.
Some excuse as to why they were
father.
Not at the wedding.
Mm-hmm. Some lame excuse. Couldn't find my way out of the nursery.
So stay tuned, but certainly don't hold your breath for the Katrina's brothers 6-part story arc.
If Kathy writes it, yes.
Now, speaking of 6-parters that Kathy has written, we have a lot of questions about the last album.
Time for a nap.
Right.
Continuing on with the Kathy cast, it's we have a lot of questions show. About 28 Hours.
I just want to know why I'm even here. Why am I here right
now?
Because
we like having you here.
Because you need to make fun of Kathy.
Well, here's the first one. This one's from Sylvia from Bend, North Carolina.
So I just want to know if Jillian is dad. Because in 28 Hours, she knew where the green sweatshirt was, and she knew, or she took Jason to the base of Channelton News, and that's where Sky Falls came work. So thank you. And I love Odyssey. It's so great, and it's just great. Bye.
Thank you. Aww. You're so sweet.
That's
thank
a great
you.
Voice, too.
Yeah. Yeah, Jillian was kind of acting kind of suspicious. What's up with
and
that?
How did she know where the green sweatshirt was? A lot of fans wanted to know
that
this.
Was just a little bit of luck. Like, she was looking around and wondered if it would be in there, and so she found it. But she didn't necessarily know there was going to be anything
She didn't
in there.
Know where the green sweatshirt was
right.
before she
know.
Opened the dumpster.
Correct.
Okay.
And what was the other part of that? That she took Jason?
She took Jason to Channel 10 News, which is where one of the baddies, Sky Feldstein, was working.
So. Right, but she didn't know that.
So she didn't know, she definitely did not know that Sky Feldstein was bad before.
Correct.
She had only gone to the
station
because she was auditioning, right?
Right. She was auditioning for the weather, that, what is that called again?
Weather woman.
Meteorologist?
Yes. She went.
Weather woman. The technical term for it.
She went to the station to audition to be the meteorologist. But while she was there, her real intent for being there was to kind of scope it out and see if it would work as a hideout.
Okay, next up, this is a fun one from Samuel from San Diego, California. A question that is on many people's minds.
Jillian was looking at her phone, and Connie asked what she was looking at, and she suspiciously said, shoe clearance. I just want to know if that's what she was really looking up, or was she looking up something else?
Ooh, Kathy, was she really looking
she
at
was
a shoe clearance?
Not. She did lie at that point, because what she had just received was notification that the agency was suspecting Jason as somebody who was on the evil side. So she didn't want to say
anything.
So the
term shoe clearance was the code word that Jason's bad. Right?
Right. No, not at all.
So she got a text and she pretended.
Right. And so when Connie, like, wondered what she was distracted by. She just said shoe clearance because she couldn't tell Connie at the time what she was really concerned about.
But did she fake her love for shoes, though?
No, no, no. Okay. I mean, there was actually, in the back of her Jeep, there was actually shoes.
Right, okay.
Because she really does love shoes.
Because that is far too serious to joke about.
It is. Yes. It really is.
She really does love shoes. Okay, another question answered. I don't think we're really dodging these questions the way we usually do. We're giving some answers here. Here's another one from Kaysen from Neosho.
I was just wondering who the person was that Jillian was calling at the end of episode one morning. She was walking out of Wit's End and she got a call from a person and she sounded really suspicious.
It was the shoe. It was the shoe salesman.
So that was her boss at the agency. So that was the head of the agency that she was speaking with. And basically he was concerned about what was going on and what was happening with Jason. And so she was telling him that she had it under control and nobody suspected her yet. But I did use a little bit of creative license and, you know, making it uncertain whether she was bad or good at that point and just how she delivered the line.
So the director of the National Security Agency calls Jillian on her cell phone just in the middle of the day. So she has a direct line right to the top.
She's amazing.
All right. Okay, here's Ben from Jacksonville, Florida.
In the episode afternoon, Jillian is driving Jason to the TV news station, and she tells him to, like, open the garage door and that the code for it's written on his hand. I was wondering, how did he get the code on his hand? Because he probably would have noticed if Jillian had written it in the car, but Jillian wasn't there any time else.
Caught.
Yeah. No, I'm not. Jillian is just that amazing. So
sort of like you.
Right.
So you could lean over to Dave right now and write something on his hand?
No.
Oh, what's that?
No. See, what she did is she had a marker in and she wrote it on her forearm, the back of her forearm there by her elbow. And then when Jason had his hand, because he's holding on because, she's sitting on the bumps.
Really bumpy.
So he held onto the console, and she just kind of nudged her hand. Yeah, stamped him with her.
So it was written on hers, and she kind of, it was, the ink was still wet.
Right, and she had to write it backwards.
I was just going to ask.
Yeah.
Mirror
so she's,
image.
She's very talented.
My goodness.
You just made that up right now.
And why would that be better than just telling him the code?
Because he wouldn't remember it.
Oh, okay.
He had it for sure.
Or just say, Jason, write this on your hand.
Well, maybe he wouldn't have taken her seriously, though. Because he wasn't sure if she was good.
Then we wouldn't have had this cool ring. This answer is so amazing.
All right. Okay. Well, there's another answer. And here's one from Sully from Cary, North Carolina.
An episode afternoon when Detective Pullhouse and Wits were driving to the park. Their car ran out of gas. Why didn't Detective Pullhouse notice that the gas gauge pointed to the empty? Thank you, and I'm a big fan.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sully.
Thank you.
They listen so closely.
They do.
They really catch
these questions prove how
these are
closely
great questions.
They are
it
listening.
It really is.
All of these questions are really good.
So why did Pullhouse not notice it pointing to
and
empty?
All of these answers are really good, too.
Oh, thanks.
We should have her write more episodes.
More six-parters. Come on.
So in this case, the fuel line was cut, but Pullhouse had filled up his, gas tank earlier that day, and so it was completely full. And so he didn't even think about looking at it, because it very quickly went down to E without him noticing it.
She just made that up again.
Plus, okay, who looks at their gas gauge when they're on a big case?
Right. I mean, he was distracted. There's a lot. Yeah. There's some big stuff going on here. So he wasn't paying attention.
Fair enough. I'd buy that. Right. I don't think that's too far of a stretch. It's less of a stretch than the writing on her arm in mirror image.
That's a pretty big one right there. I'm just saying.
Okay. Let's go to Lila from Harleysville, Pennsylvania.
In one episode, Skye calls Detective Pullhouse Grandpa Pullhouse. What was up with that?
What was up with that?
No, that exactly. Kathy, why don't you answer this for us?
Well, apparently, Pullhouse, he's a grandfather,
he's
quite a bit older than Skye, and so she just said that to be mean and mocking So
but he is not that being a grandpa.
He is not her grandpa.
Negative.
A grandpa is a fabulous thing. Speaking as a grandpa.
And you can be very young and be a grandpa,
but
too.
When I first, you know, put in that thread about Sky and Full House going on a blind date, Nathan was reminded me, or I don't think I even knew, that there was that much of an age difference. Like, I kind of thought Sky, like, late 30s, and I didn't know she was in her 20s. And so then we had to kind of go back and and kind of make those adjustments on why they were out together.
But if you want to hear an episode where we see Pull House as a grandpa in the club, you can listen to Fishing for Gold. And we hear him as a grandpa. We hear his granddaughter in that episode. Okay, Hannah from Wooster, Ohio. I love the name Wooster, Ohio. I used to drive through Wooster on my way to college. But this is Hannah from Wooster, Ohio, and she asks,
why make Sky Feldstein a bad lady? Like, why choose her?
Well, yeah, because she seemed perfectly nice before that.
Yeah, she was a little rough around the edges. She could be a little...
a little pushy, sure.
Yeah.
But why did you choose her?
Now, and is this one that you had planned from early on, or did this come up just with the script?
She had to be a baddie to date Pull House. I mean,
who else would? I knew I needed somebody that was going to become bad that the audience wouldn't suspect. And so I knew if I introduced
a
new character, right, and it can't be Whit or Wooten or Connie.
It's Connie.
So I had to think of a kind of a peripheral character that the audience would know and wouldn't suspect, but somebody that it would still be realistic and believable that they turned bad. So we tossed around a few ideas.
Who else did you consider?
Burke.
Officer Burke?
Yes.
After all this time,
and
Burke is...
wow.
The reporter.
Oh, Ted Humphreys.
Ted Humphreys.
Fireman Rudy.
That would have been a good one.
Rudy
would have
been good. No one sees coming.
Well, it needed to be somebody that we would think, okay, we don't really have many plans for this person. Let's put him in prison.
Fireman
right,
Rudy.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Like, okay, how much do we want to do with this?
Oh, we have far too many plans for firefighter Rudy to put him in prison.
Oh, yeah. We have a whole story arc for him. Dale Jacobs.
You considered Dale Jacobs being evil?
That would never have worked.
Yeah. No,
but
we couldn't do that.
So I kind of, look through and try to find somebody. Okay. But Sky made the most sense, especially since we were going to use the TV studio.
So that's how Sky turned to evil, is that she made the most sense to be evil.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, next up, Drew from Beaverton, Oregon.
First, I want to know, is the actor who plays the chairman the same person who is the announcer on the Last Chance Detective video series? They sound similar, so I'm just curious. And second, is the chairman still part of Andromeda, or is he moved on to a different organization? Thank you very much, and I loved 28 Hours. It was an awesome album.
Thanks, Drew.
Yeah, thank you,
Drew. Those are some good ears.
Yeah, to pick that out is pretty impressive, actually. And he knows the show real well. He's listened for a long time.
And yes, we can say yes. Brian Cummings, who plays the chairman, played the chairman 20 years ago and plays him again today, is also the announcer on Last Chance Detective. So good ears. And is he still part of Andromeda? Well, Kathy's shaking her head.
I don't.
Very good radio there, Kathy.
I
heard that.
I was like, shaking my head so you could go there.
No, that was her. I don't know.
Don't call on me.
This is the Kathy podcast. What are you talking about?
Andromeda is no longer in existence.
No, they were vanquished.
But the chairman did not get caught. And so he is still out and about.
Unvanquished.
And he was not caught in this series either.
Right. He's a slippery little fellow.
So he's high up in the NSA, right?
Or the Pentagon.
No, at
the Pentagon, that's
he
right.
He works the Pentagon.
Yeah.
All right. Here's another one from Hannah from Wooster. And I'm really looking forward to this question and answer. So here we go from Hannah.
In the final part of 28 Hours, Connie is talking to Jason and she says that Officer Burke has George Washington style hair. And I was just wondering what in the world that means and how much we talk about that. Thanks. Love you guys. Bye.
We're all wondering. We're all wondering the answer to that question. Let's ask Kathy. Kathy,
what is George Washington hair?
All right. You know how they have those little curls above the ears? Like poofy curls?
Yeah, sort of.
That's what I was thinking.
And okay. You think of curls. Officer Burke having the curls above the ears?
Well, here's the thing. Not everybody could pull off the George Washington cut. Officer Burke can. Man, he rocks the George Washington, let me tell you. Now, is this George Washington on the one or on the quarter?
Or is this George Washington Carver?
That would be a different haircut.
I don't have any idea what his hair looked like.
Honestly, and this is no disrespect to the father of our nation, but I think he was having a bad hair day when he posed for the one.
For the one? So you think one and the quarter was better?
One and the quarter was better, yeah.
Okay, well.
Does anybody have a quarter? I want to see what he looks like now.
Burke looked like the one. Burke's not attractive.
Oh, no.
Then how could he?
Get, unlike
how
the
could
actor
he get Jillian to go
him.
On a date with him?
Right, I know. Now, why did she go
was,
on a
was
date?
Was it a sympathy
with
date? Is that what it is?
Because he has that poor
He's
George
so
Washington.
That poor hair.
Guy's so lonely with that hair.
Although this podcast has answered definitively a lot of questions that people have written in. And let's definitively answer this next one. Mercy from Huntersville, Pennsylvania asks,
I was wondering, is Jason and Jillian going to ever get married? I'll be so excited that they do.
Maybe we can't definitively answer that one just yet.
The track record stops right here. Okay.
Let's play rock, paper, scissors for it. Ready? Okay.
That's how we make the decisions on this show.
We'll see. I mean, they've got a lot of dating to do. I mean,
it's a long way.
They're not even together yet. They haven't even.
I mean, she's seeing Officer Burke.
She's with his George Washington hair. She's got to, have a time to get over Burke if they ever break up.
Yeah, that'll be rough.
That's gonna be tough. She's gonna miss that hair.
But we will see more of Jason and Jillian. In fact, on the club, you can already hear an episode. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Marshall?
Yeah, that show is called Game Night, and it's. Jason and Jillian and kind of wrestling with this whole who is she in front of people kind of thing. So, yeah, should be fun.
It's a fun show.
And it's in the club now and coming soon to download radio and CD in the new year.
Yep.
All right. Our final question is from Nathan from Spokane Valley, Washington.
How many secret agents are there in the Odyssey?
A very good question.
There's a whole
412.
Town is one big secret agency.
For a small Midwestern town, there have been a lot of people revealed to be agents in Odyssey. So fair enough, Nathan.
But they've
that's
had
a good
lot
question.
Of like, you know, big things happen there too.
True.
I mean,
a lot of people have tried to take over the world from this town.
All from Odyssey.
So they need a lot of agents
exactly.
to keep it all in check.
Exactly.
So who do we have? We've got Whit, Jason,
Tasha. Jillian, obviously.
Monty.
Yes.
That's right. All in the family.
And Camilla Parker.
That hasn't aired yet. All right. Well, we've got to wrap up this Q&A podcast. Thank you for joining us. Appreciate all the questions. And we'll see you next time. Please keep calling in with those questions.
Thank you
so much for listening.
Ask me a question next time. Because I've just been sitting here doing nothing except making fun of Kathy.
What is it like to have Kathy Buchanan sing next to you?
Well, on that note, thank you guys for calling in. Thank you, Marshall, Dave, Kathy, for joining in for these Q&As. These are always fun.
Thanks for all the great questions.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Album 73, 28 Hours, is available in the club on CD and download right now. And the first episodes in Album 74, Buckle Up, are available in the club right now as well. In fact, Legally Wooten releases tomorrow.
Let's hear what that one's about.
Next time on Adventures in Odyssey, Wooten could be in some legal trouble.
I'm taking you to court.
Huh? Can Judge Simon Jones make sense of this?
The internet was created by someone in a beanbag chair?
When God wrote the Ten Commandments, he didn't take the stone tablets over to the copyright office.
Are you filibustering?
This is the strangest arbitration I've ever had.
Don't miss the next adventure in Odyssey.
Hear it in the club starting tomorrow, along with two other episodes from Album 74.
That's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation to Focus on the Family.
Visit the website at adventuresinodyssey.com or call us at 1-800-A-FAMILY. I'm Bob. Merry Christmas, everyone.
And I'm Jesse, reminding you that with God in your life, every day is an adventure. And wishing you a Happy New Year.
It's time to level up. Give your kids a safe, faith-focused, and biblically-based community, and so much more. Join the Adventures in Odyssey Club. Club members get on-demand access to the exciting Adventures in Odyssey series, including more than 900 episodes. With faith-building activities, parental controls, and a safe online community, the Adventures in Odyssey Club could be your best adventure yet. Learn more and start your free trial at adventuresinodyssey.com/radio.